The presidential race aside, most Alaska voters this election season are probably concerned about races for the legislature and Alaska seats in the U.S. House and Senate. But unless you were part of a recent lawsuit or defendant in a criminal case, you probably don't know much about some of the people on the backside of Tuesday's ballot. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on this year's judicial retention election.
Did you ever wonder why you never see campaign signs for judges, like in other states? There are 33 Alaska judges on this year's election ballot, yet probably none of them are producing radio and television ads, putting flyers in the mail, or taking out ads in the newspaper promoting their credentials as a judge and asking to remain on the bench. And for sure, Alaska judges never accept large campaign contributions from lawyers, lobbyists, and special interest groups. Suzanne DiPietro, the executive director of the Alaska Judicial Council, explains how that would be a problem.
It's pretty obvious in other states where judges campaign, the main contributors to the campaigns are lawyers. At that point, when you would go to court, you wouldn't know if the other person in court had actually contributed to the campaign of that judge. And that would be something to worry about. They wanted to avoid it. They also wanted to avoid judges campaigning and being sort of pressed to make certain promises about how they might rule in a case. It's totally inappropriate and not fair.
DiPietro says the code of conduct for Alaska judges prohibits them from campaigning unless they are attacked. Former Alaska Supreme Court Justice Bud Carpinetti says members of the Constitutional Convention 60 years ago wanted to isolate judges from election politics.
Judges have to be primarily responsive to the law. They have to apply the law fairly, and I think the founders wanted to get away from the notion that it would be just another political branch, because when you go into court, sometimes the unpopular side might be the side that has more legal merit and ought to win.
Carpinetti says Tom Stewart, a territorial legislator and secretary to the Constitutional Convention, traveled around the country to research how other states did things, and he came back with something called the Merit Selection Plan, or the Missouri Plan. A nonpartisan panel would interview and thoroughly vet judicial applicants and then hold public hearings. The governor would essentially be the political component representing the people while making the final selection from a short list of best qualified nominees. During retention elections held later, voters have a direct say on whether they think each judge is still doing a good job.
So the council's process really starts a whole year in advance.
The Alaska Judicial Council is the nonpartisan panel responsible for putting all applicants and sitting judges through a fine-tooth comb.
The council tries to determine how a judge performed in office over their last term in office by surveying people who've appeared in front of that judge. So the idea is that the people who have been in the judge's courtroom, who've read the judge's decisions, those are the people who are going to be able to give the council the most up-to-date information about the judge's performance.
DiPietro says the council is recommending all 33 judges on the ballot this year be retained.
It's a lot more than usual, and that's just really a coincidence. It's almost half the judges sitting in Alaska right now.
DiPietro recommends that voters consider each judge's performance and body of work and not whether they agree or disagree with the outcome of a single case. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.